You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, we'll check in with Chris Haynes, who covers the NBA. We'll check in inside the bubble. He'll join us coming up. LSU head coach Ed Orgeron will join us coming up in the final hour of the program. Talked a lot about Dak Prescott and Derrick Henry during the first hour of the program. Ezekiel Elliott is clapping back at Twitter haters here. McLevin, are you involved in this?
I don't think so, but I want in.
Okay.
What's he saying?
Check the stats. Since I entered this league, I have dominated year in and year out. Put some respect in capital letters, on my name. And then somebody clapped back and said, bro, you got paid 2 years early and for way too much. How you need more respect than $90 million. Here's another one. Bro, no lie. I'm a huge fan, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't disappointed in your performance the last 2 years. I don't see the hunger. That happens with running backs. When they get paid, you start to run a little more tentatively.
Hunger has never been the question mark with Ezekiel Elliott.
Wow.
No offense.
Wow. That's a shock.
That's easy.
Low-hanging fruit.
Big fan.
Which is something you should probably have more of. What?
Oh, hey.
Can you show me the numbers with Zeke Elliott here, McLovin, the last 2 years? I just don't think we mention him. I don't think he has those plays that he had when he first got in the league, those incredible plays. Remember, it was Zeke's team. Like, they were a running team. And then they were like, we got to take advantage of Zeke with play action pass, and this will help Dak Prescott be able to throw the ball downfield. I had a scout tell me that defenses still want to see if he can throw the ball down the field. This is the knock on Dak Prescott.
His numbers are big still. He led the league in rushing 2 years ago, 1434, and had 1357 last year.
Okay.
But I wonder how impactful they were.
That's where I keep coming back to that. Do you think that they're a running team? When they needed a big play, did they get that from Zeke Elliott? I mean, there's still, if Zeke's great and the offensive line is Hall of Fame worthy, and you got Dak who wants to be the highest paid or second highest paid player in the game, and you're 8-8, I can put a lot of this on Jason Garrett. I still think that Jerry Jones' biggest regret, and he'll never mention it publicly, is he stayed with Jason Garrett too long and blew too many opportunities to maybe make a run and get a coach that was going to make this team better. Because I don't know if he brought out the best in his players on a consistent basis. I always thought Jason was more of an assistant coach, and that's what you have now with the New York Giants. He's an assistant coach there. And maybe Mike McCarthy is going to be an upgrade there. I don't know if the offense changes. I don't know if it's more on Dak Prescott's shoulders. Are they more of a running team with Zeke Elliott? But I don't want to pay my running back early. I don't want to pay him often. And Dallas did that. And I think that that'll turn out to be a bad deal for them. Yeah, Paul.
Zeke Elliott's got a point, and he is the fourth all-time in rushing yards per game career. He's averaging 97 yards a game rushing in his career. That's just behind Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and Terrell Davis. Now, the caveat there is that a lot of running backs start hot, and their first 4 years are always their best, or almost always their best. But he's ahead of Eric Dickerson, Walter Payton, Adrian Peterson.
Okay, but if I said you can have Zeke Elliott or Christian McCaffrey, who do you want?
Completely healthy?
No, yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, I'd take Christian McCaffrey in a second. Right now?
It is splitting hairs, but Ezekiel Elliott takes 5-yard runs and makes him 8. And now, I know he's a great pass catcher.
Derrick Henry or Zeke Elliott?
Zeke. When healthy?
Yeah, but I don't know what healthy means now.
Oh, I guess I'm using that with all running backs, assuming healthy.
Well,
he's been pretty healthy.
But I don't know. He's not the same running back he was when he got in the league.
His first year, he averaged 109 yards per game.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
He's got one of the best offensive lines in the game. Christian McCaffrey does not have that. Derrick Henry, I think, made that offensive line look a little bit better. By all accounts, Zeke Elliott has one of the top three lines. He's got, what, maybe two Hall of Famers on that line? Like Zach Martin? Tyron Smith, those are Hall of Famers. So he's got a head start over all these other running backs. Yes, McLovin.
He's got a lot of wear already in his NFL career, though.
Well, plus go back to college, too. I mean, you have to factor in the wear and tear on a running back, and I have to go back to college as well. Derrick Henry didn't have wear and tear at Alabama. Christian McCaffrey did have wear and tear at Stanford. And it eventually catches up to you. I go back to, remember James Wilder with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah.
He had, I think, one season, maybe two, 450 carries, something crazy like that. And but that's all the Buccaneers had. But 400-plus carries. Yeah, McLovin.
You know who seems like an exception? You mentioned earlier, Adrian Peterson. Like, he's the only running back where it never mattered what he did.
And if he had stayed healthy and, you know, the suspension, he would be knocking on the door of Emmitt Smith for the all-time. And I don't know if anybody's ever going to get close to that again. It just doesn't feel like, you know, we devalued the running back. We don't give you the same touches because football used to be predicated on running the ball, controlling the clock. You take a couple of shots down the field and you have a good defense. That's it. It was almost a conservative approach. And unless we go back to that, the running back, if you get to 10,000 yards, it's going to be like, man, you had a great career. But that's the way it used to be. You got to 10,000 yards, like Jim Taylor of the Green Bay Packers. Now, granted, they won Super Bowls. He wasn't a great running back, but for that team and that offense, he was what they needed. I still think Ricky Waters was one of the great players that just got lost. Great pass catcher. And he got overshadowed because it felt like he was Marshall Faulk before Marshall Faulk. And then you started to see some of these numbers. And LaDainian Tomlinson comes along. And you're like, uh-oh, everybody's in trouble here. All right, welcome to the program. Already in progress, as you can tell. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp and danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our radio partners, TV partners, watching on YouTube.com/TheDanPatrickShow. We're still waiting for this Washington Post story that's supposed to be a big deal. Nobody's confirmed anything. We've reached out. We reached out to the sports editors at the Washington Post and just said, look, off the record, can you tell us when the story is going to come out? And we didn't even get a response on it. Everybody's tight-lipped about this, but it feels like there's something to do with the toxic culture work environment with the Washington Redskins. I'm guessing the article expose is probably complete. Now the lawyers are looking over this. That would be my guess. And I don't know if it involves Daniel Snyder. You got two employees fired Sunday, and then their longtime broadcaster, Larry Michael, just resigned. Something's happening here. It's not just a name change. And that's where I wondered, with skepticism, that maybe the name change just happened to come about at the same time you had a story that was going to explode. Ross Tucker, our friend, former NFL lineman, said this is like the movie that everybody keeps saying, you got to go see it, you got to go see it, you got to go see it. And then you go see it, and you go, well, it didn't live up to what the hype was. I'm hopeful that this story doesn't live up to the hype because given, look, I've been told enough that, boy, this could be an explosion. This could be something that is pretty bad for a couple of people that were in the organization. But, you know, there's no names that I'm going to attach, and I'm not even going to mention, you know, what anybody's job was in there. But you just start to hear a little bit, but we don't have that story. And maybe the Washington Post drops that story by the end of the week. But by all accounts, it's pretty explosive. All right, some phone calls here. What are we going to stay with that poll question for the first hour?
Yeah, we have, if you could start an offense with one of these players. I know. We'll stick with it. We'll come up with something better.
All right, what are the results?
Okay, so you have a choice between Kittle, Michael Thomas, and Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey actually runs away with it, no pun intended.
Okay.
That might be just he's the most famous of those three.
Yeah. Now, I said I would probably start my team with Kittle.
I'm with you because he's the best tight end, where Michael Thomas is one of the top 10 receivers, five receivers.
But is McCaffrey the best running back?
You've convinced me that all these guys are good now. There's so many outstanding ones.
I mean, Zeke Elliott is putting up great numbers, but they don't compare to what he did when he first got in the league. Therefore, you know, I probably diminish his value a little bit. Derrick Henry, extremely valuable. But Alvin Kamara didn't have a great year last year. It just feels like there's another running back, then another running back. This guy came out of nowhere. Third round draft pick. This guy, fifth round draft pick. It just feels like at that position, you're able to find running backs, right? Like Raheem Mostert could have been the Super Bowl MVP had they won. Where'd he come from? Off a surfboard. I mean, he was a wide receiver at Purdue and became a running back. Yeah, McLovin.
If, God forbid, there was no NFL season, does that mean that we'd spend all next year talking about Dak Prescott's new contract again? It'd just be the never-ending Dak Prescott contract?
I try to talk about the things that I think are pertinent. I don't do clickbait. I'm in the minority here. And I don't begrudge others that do it. I think the transparency is, if you can mention LeBron or the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, then you're going to do that every single day. You know, Skip and Shannon do that every single day. I don't begrudge them. That's the program they're doing. And I'm not here to help somebody program their show. It's just there's other things to talk about instead of saying, how do I work Dak Prescott into the show? Dak Prescott deserves to be in the show today. And as we head into this regular season, and he's going to be a storyline the entire year because we're going to look and say, he bet on himself again. Was it worth it? Are the Cowboys going to go, you know what? We're going to franchise you next year. And that's what my thought process was. Sign him and get him at a bargain if you did it last year. If you really want him, then give him his four-year, $140 million deal like the Seahawks gave Russell Wilson. Then you got a bargain. Then you can use that money elsewhere. Now you're going to be saddled with paying your quarterback $40 million on an offense that you paid everybody and a couple of defensive players that you paid. The salary cap's going to go down maybe $20 to $30 million due to the pandemic. Jerry Jones, smart man, but I think you could have had him at a bargain. But back then, it always, you know, when somebody says, you know, you could have bought that house 15 years ago for this. Well, I didn't have the money back then. But like people always say, you know, you could have bought that brownstone in New York for $100,000 back in 1975. Where were you in 1975 to tell me about that? It's after the fact, you know, you could have got that car. Could have got that car a couple of years ago for a bargain. $20,000 less. Yeah, Paul.
Have you guys ever had one of those where something you passed on and you're like, oh, and it still is in your gut, like a buying a car, buying a house,
yep,
investment opportunity?
Yep. Moving on here. Moving on. Dan in Chicago joins us. Hi, Dan. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP. Just wanted to get your opinion on, you know, how much blame are we putting on the Vikings contract with Kirk Cousins for essentially inflating the rate of all these growing quarterbacks. You know, my opinion is that, you know, his mediocrity essentially set this extraordinary standard for these huge amounts of money. Now you got your Jimmy G's, your Dax, your Tannehill's, your Carr's, who are serviceable quarterbacks, but they're in a pay band that's a lot more than what they can really chew.
I know, and this is what happened, because when I came in that Monday and I said, you know, Kirk D. Cousins is going to get all of it guaranteed. This had never happened. And I came in because I had a source who said, hey, he's getting it all guaranteed. And I said, why? It's a shorter contract and it's all guaranteed. $66 million. And then all of a sudden, all these agents, ding, 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 and their clients go, hey, we want it all guaranteed. And that's what's happening. Until they hit the reset button with these quarterback salaries, it's going to get out of hand with crazy numbers for guys who aren't worth it. The NBA is going through this. There are guys who are making over $40 million. And you go, huh? Like John Wall. John Wall a nice player. If he was playing out in the field house, I might wait a while before I went out to watch him shoot. But he's going to make 42 and then I think 46 or $48 million. And how many guys in the NBA would you go watch, turn on the TV, or watch an entire game? Is there like 4, 5, maybe? Now, if I said teams, that's a little bit different. But, you know, the healthy Warriors, Lakers, you're not going to sit and watch an entire Bucks game. Don't even try to tell me anybody. Don't.
Are you saying we haven't or won't?
You haven't and you won't.
All right.
If they get to the NBA Finals, you might. But, you know, I'll watch the Greek Freak. He's a wonderful player. LeBron, Harden, Westbrook.
Don't forget the big one, the big ticket, the NBA superstar, Zion Williamson. I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They think he's the number one draw.
Well, he might be. He might be. If I said you could have Zion or Luka. See, Luka's going to be an MVP.
Right.
I don't think Zion's going to be an MVP.
But the excitement factor is Luka's steady.
I know, yeah. But that's... If you said... To a TV executive, if they were going to be honest, we can show you more Luka games or more Pelicans games. I don't even think it's a contest. I think it's Pelicans. And Luka is a better player than Zion, at least right now. Yeah, Paul.
But Zion's numbers are actually, he's overachieving on the court. In only 19 games, he averaged 23.5 points. He shot pretty well, even from three. He didn't shoot a lot of threes, but he shot 46%. He's 19.
I know. Well, but Luka's 21?
Right.
He's so much older than Zion. He plays older than Zion. But Zion, you know, he said, hey, I went back to the basics. I worked on my basics there. He'll never have the shot of Luka and the ball handling of Luka. But as far as a draw to get people to come out, young fans, they're coming out to see Zion. Yeah, McClellan.
There's a lot of Instagram video of Luka and Porzingis and Seth Curry just draining 45-foot jumpers. Mm-hmm. Are you in on them? Are you getting excited? Is that why you bring up Luka?
I'm excited about Dallas in the bubble. But Porzingis is the key. If he can be dominating or anywhere near what he once was, then Dallas is tricky. It's a tricky matchup. That's the highest scoring team. Right there. All right, we'll take a break. I will get to your phone calls, but I want to make way for Chris Haynes. He will join us inside the bubble. Well, he didn't have anything to do, right? He's stuck in his room. He can't go anywhere, right? Yes.
He's been there for 2 weeks already.
Wait, he got there early?
He's been there 2 weeks.
Who gets there early?
I think I saw him poolside the other day on TV. He might be post-quarantine. He might be on the Lido deck.
Was he out there with the DJ, with Dwight Howard?
That's what I'm hearing.
Just those two guys?
He was the DJ.
All right, we'll take a break. Let's see. 19 after the hour, head into the bubble, right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. All right, phone call's coming up. We'll check in with LSU head football coach Ed Orgeron. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. He's one of our favorites. He works for Yahoo Sports, also NBA on TNT sideline reporter, and a host of Posted Up with Chris Haynes podcast. He is Chris Haynes, who joins us now. Last time we talked, you said you were going to be in a scrub hotel in the bubble. Looks like you're in a nice hotel there, Chris.
I'm showing you the better side, the better half of the hotel room, DP.
Well, wait, what's on the other side?
Two beds. That's about it.
How many sneakers did you bring?
It's about one, two, three. I got about 8 pair. Then, you know, about 2 dress shoes.
Are you allowed to walk around? You're out of quarantine. You don't have to stay in your hotel room.
Yeah, I'm allowed to walk around. I got here on July 1st,
I've been
here for a few weeks already.
Do you go and knock on the doors of other NBA reporters and then run away because you're allowed to be outside and they can't be?
You act like you've seen video of something like that occurring.
Have you done that before?
You know what? I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay. All right.
I'll just say I won't be doing that again.
How would you describe the scene there for those of us who won't be able to be in the bubble?
Well, currently, right now, I'm at the Coronado Springs Resort on Walt Disney World campus. And on this campus, on this property, this also houses the top teams in the NBA by standings. You got the Lakers here. Clippers are here, Toronto Raptors, Utah Jazz, Denver Nuggets. I believe I'm missing some. Boston Celtics, they're here. And so as of right now, we kind of share the same amenities, the same facilities. You know, I'll see guys walking around, taking jogs, guys riding on bicycles, fishing. We have a little river here right in the middle of the campus. So it's a pretty unique scene.
Were you poolside with Dwight Howard when they had the DJ out by the pool and Dwight was the only one out there?
No, DP. I think if I was, I would be escorted off campus.
Oh, wait. You're not allowed to be part of those events?
No.
You can't socialize with the player. Like if you see LeBron.
Yes. No, there's been times where I've seen LeBron and we've spoke and seen numerous players, but we're told not to interact with players outside of availability. But with that being said, they know who I am. They're coming up to me and they're talking and having conversations. So you can't avoid those, but you know, I'm not going out of my way to try to seek contact.
How important is the snitch line for guys to call up and be anonymous? Is it real?
Yeah, it's real. It's real. Last I've heard, what was it? Tuesday, a handful of, individuals called in on that hotline, a mixture of staff members and players. And so it's real. Guys are, there's been some violations. Some guys, you know, haven't worn their face masks and things of that nature, little warnings, but nothing serious as of right now.
Spencer Dinwiddie of the Nets came out and said he used the expression L.A. work.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what L.A. work meant, Chris. That's the, like, players in the import-export business? Is that how that worked?
Well, I just say, DP, you know, there's work everywhere. There's work everywhere. I don't know why he singled out L.A. work. You know, there's work
everywhere. Yeah, yeah. Why just, have it exclusive to L.A., the import-export business? Yeah. You know, the more successful these teams are, the longer they have to stay in the bubble. I just wonder how long before these guys start going stir crazy.
You know, it's funny. The first day I got here, I bumped into somebody from the Washington Wizards organization. And, you know, I asked me, how you doing? Everything's good? So, oh, yes. We just came here to win. And, you know, we just want to be as successful as possible. I said, look, man, y'all ain't coming here to win. Man, y'all want to get out of here as soon as possible. what chance do y'all have? Like, come on, don't sell me my BS.
Who is the favorite now that the Lakers don't have Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo? Did that affect, you think, the overall favorite to win the title?
I don't think it affected much. Obviously, Avery Bradley is a big part, and Rondo also a big part. They expect to have Rondo back at some point later in the playoffs. But, you know, acquiring J.R. Smith, you know, I know he's not Avery Bradley, doesn't have the skill set of Avery Bradley on the defensive end. But, you know, J.R.'s had big moments in this league during big times. And he's also had a blunder, of course. But, you know, I think he's a coup for the Lakers. I still have the Lakers clip as the higher echelon teams in the Western Conference.
Okay. And then the East, is it Milwaukee?
Milwaukee's my favorite. I can't dismiss Boston, and I'm going to mention Toronto Raptors because I'm going on other platforms and not mention them, and I got killed for them. So I'm definitely the Raptors. They're legitimate as well.
The team that I'm fascinated to see, well, there's two teams I'm fascinated to see. I'm fascinated to see the Rockets. I don't know James Harden's availability, his health. We know that Russell Westbrook admitted that he tested positive. But Harden coming back as well, I think the Rockets can be a tough out, just that style of basketball. The other team is the 76ers. It could be either really good or really bad for the 76ers. Where do you stand on the Rockets and the Sixers?
Well, sources did tell me that Harden plans to practice for the first time today here in Orlando. So that's good news for them. But I get what you're saying about Houston. I'm not so sold on Philly. I got to see a little bit more. But I will say this. To the way this restart is shaped and structured, it bodes well for a lot of teams that's probably young, got the young legs. A team like Houston, who can go on a hot stretch and just go out and put together wins. But another team as well, DP, that you haven't mentioned, and I will understand why you didn't. They're currently not in the playoff picture as of right now, but the Portland Trailblazers,
yeah.
DP, if they sneak in the playoff picture, I think they can be a tough out, first round out for the Los Angeles Lakers. And if they happen to get past the Lakers, I can see them going the distance.
Well, we had Chris Mannix on, and Mannix, I think, picked the Blazers and the Sixers to go to the finals.
Whoa, okay. I wouldn't go that far. But what I'm saying is, if they happen to get into the playoff picture and they get past Lakers, which is a daunting task, I could see them getting to the finals.
Okay. All right. He's Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider, NBA on TNT sideline reporter. Look at you moving up now. You're TV. You're a talking hairdo. You're at the TNT hotel. Look who's moving on up to the east side.
Well, that's why I'm only showing you the east side of this hotel.
I was told that you have an ironing board and you have your... So sources tell me that your Zoom is on an ironing board. Your laptop.
Why are you exposed about this?
Hey, all that is just great reporting. That's all that is.
You got good sources.
Yes, man. Yes, I do. We just I just had a question here. If I said you could have Luka or Zion,
I'm going with Luka right now.
Okay, but if you're a TV executive, do you think, and you can decide, do you put on more Mavs games or Pelicans games?
Pelicans games.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at Zion, who's, what, 19? But yeah. Luka's, what, 21? It's not like he's an old guy here.
He's not. It's just the flash. And look, Luka is flashy, man. He got some pizzazz. Like, he's not this boring, you know, he's not this boring player. But you know those dunk highlights, man. You know people love to see Zion get up and down, and we've never seen somebody of his stature really get up the way he does. I think people are kind of polarized by that. So definitely, if I'm executive, yeah, I probably want more Pelican games on.
What's your biggest question with all of this, aside from safety precautions? And let's just say that we're able to have basketball question. The number one question you have is what?
You know, DP, it's hard to answer that without even mentioning what happens if a player tests positive, a significant player. You know, those unknowns. Will it even be revealed? Like, what would happen? The protocol, but just straight basketball. You know, you just want to see, like, the Lakers were on the run. You know, they were playing good before this hiatus. Does that continue? How much rust is on some of these guys? I'm going to be honest with you, DP, you have to remember, a lot of guys weren't playing ball during this time. A lot of guys I spoke to didn't even think the season was going to restart. So what type of condition are they going to be in? And is this period right now that they're utilizing, is it enough to get them into the proper shape before the season get here and even before the postseason gets here? So I always want to see what type of quality of basketball we're going to see.
You also, I thought they were going to have the losers tournament in Chicago or wherever. And is that still happening? The teams that didn't get invited to Orlando? It's not officially called the losers tournament.
just like it's not officially called the snitch hotline.
No. Yeah. But are they, I heard the Warriors aren't even going to go. They don't even want to participate in this.
So I haven't heard much more on it aside from the fact that there are teams out there who do want to get some type of league started because they don't want those guys not doing anything for 7-8 months at a time. It wouldn't be like that in a traditional structure of the season. So they want to get out there and assess their young guys and get the proper reps in. So I expect something along those lines to occur.
All right. Stay safe. Don't bring in any LA work. You know, you got to make sure that you nose to the grindstone here.
No work here.
No.
I don't know anything about that.
Enjoy the situation as best as possible. Can you just walk and open up the door just to get fresh air?
I can now. But during quarantine, You better not step out unless you're going to get tested.
Hold up your best pair of shoes. Like, if you're going out and you want to get somebody's attention, which one of your sneakers are you wearing?
I'm rocking the Dames. I'm rocking the Dame Sixes.
Okay.
I'm rocking the Dame Sixes. And I got to show some love for the other side. I got the Paul Georges. You never could go wrong with the Air Force Ones, DP. Never.
What about those yellow ones behind you?
You know, yellow ones, I got to find the right outfit. These are the Derrick Roses. These are the Derrick Roses right here. I got to find the right outfit to go with that.
You got to be really good to be able to wear those shoes, man. Really good. It's tough to get something that yellow, that bright.
Yeah.
That's like a highlighter on both feet wearing it out.
Yeah, you got to get the right SpongeBob outfit or something.
Hey, I'm happy for your success. Good luck down there. We'll check in with you. Great to talk to you as always, Chris.
Thank you, DP. Take care.
That's Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports Senior NBA Insider, NBA on TNT Sideline Reporter, and his podcast posted up with Chris Haynes. A couple of phone calls in here. Looked like he's doing okay down there. Seemed in good spirits. When we had Joe Varden on, he was on lockdown. When he says he's doing sprints from his bathroom to the door.
Running back and forth between these two walls for 2.5 miles.
I brought one pair of boat shoes.
Yeah, I'm worried about Joe. Yes, McLovin.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't do 7 days in one room.
The quarantine portion of it?
Yeah, I couldn't step out. I don't think I could do it.
I did that a handful of times a year when we went to L.A.
You never left?
Lots of times I just lock it down.
Really? Well, we have to get up at 4 a.m. Yeah. Yeah. So I understand.
I don't know. Am I going outside today?
Yeah.
I'll probably just stay here.
Maybe not. Yeah, Plunk.
Balcony would be mandatory. Imagine having a room down in Orlando with no balcony and being in there for 7 days.
Mm. Let me see. Let me get to Matt in South Carolina. Hi, Matt. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's up, DP? I need some advice from the gang, and I got a pretty cool stat of the day after the advice.
But, okay.
Getting married on August 15th, so like 30 days from now or something, and we had a nice honeymoon planned to Hawaii. That got canned, obviously. So I need some advice on some maybe local South East beaches we might can drive through that you or some of the Danettes have been to that you would recommend for a last minute honeymoon plan.
Paulie, you got one?
Yeah. If you go down to South Carolina, there's a beach down there called Folly Beach. It's nice. It's not too expensive, and it's close to Charleston, which you can get some really great food. I don't know the situation down there or anything, but that was a really nice place and really good food around there.
Well, you're in South Carolina, so you're probably aware of that.
You might go somewhere different?
Yeah, she lived in Charleston for like 2 years. So we went to Folly probably 6 or 7 times a year.
Retract.
No. Yeah. Other than that, no, we don't have any advice of where you can go.
I'll let you guys think about
it. It's kind of a weird time for travel.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
It's like, I don't know. Maybe you do go back to Folly Beach.
But I would tell you, that it's like a lot can change in a month, though, Matt. That's the problem. Because how about you get an RV? Go camping.
That might be what we do, but whatever I'm booking, I'm going to book like a week in advance because, like you said, who knows what's happening in a month. But.
It doesn't matter when you're in love. Whatever you decide, I'm sure it's going to be great, Matt. That's my philosophy. When you're in love,
love in the Caribbean sounds a lot better.
Do you have a stat of the day?
I do. Can I get the old school music?
Old school stat of the day music.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day!
After his win last weekend, Colin Morikawa has 2 wins and just 1 missed cut since joining the PGA Tour. He is the first player to accomplish this since Tiger Woods in 96. By the time the big cat missed his second cut in 2005, he had 43 wins and 9 majors.
Oh, man. Matt got swallowed up there.
Just like marriage.
Man. Thank you, Matt. Good luck in a month there. Yeah, he got, you know, they flirt with the post. You got to hit the post. And he got hit by the post.
You got to get out of the gate fast.
Yep.
You know, or the post is going to come up quicker than you think.
But you can always tell because it's like a 2 or 3 second delay before they start with their stat of the day. They've timed it out. and then they start late, and then they start to rush, and you get crushed. More phone calls coming up, and we'll take a break back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Make sure you check out rockauto.com. All the parts for your car or truck, rockauto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999, two goals in mind. Want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And it can be difficult if you have an older car or you're redoing a car, as I'm doing right now. Actually, I'm paying somebody to redo a car. Did you put the color out on social media?
No, because I didn't know if you wanted me to.
Yeah, you can. You can put that up on...
What step in the paint process are you?
Wet sanding. So it's sort of the beginning part of the process.
Is it going to be a matte gray or a shiny gray?
Shiny. It's stone gray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be shiny. But it looked like it was matted when you saw it, but from a different angle, it's one of the more incredible colors that I've ever seen. But I'm watching somebody redo an old Porsche. By the way, it's Porsche. It's not Porsche.
Is that official?
Yeah. According to my brother, Dave, who's a Porsche snob. And every time I go, he'll go, "How's the car coming?" I said, "Man, that Porsche is," he goes, "Porsche." And I go,
"There is no substitute."
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a 72, it's actually going to be an Outlaw, 72 Outlaw is what I'm going to do with this Porsche.
That's you.
Yeah, an Outlaw.
I still have a buddy who says Jaguars. Jaguars, like wire, like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, because we would always make fun of it on SportsCenter, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Or the Jaguars.
Jaguar. Well, I think in England they say Jaguar. I think they add a little extra to that. By the way, back to rockauto.com. You choose the part, brands, prices, features you want anytime 24/7. And they deliver it right to your home or office. You don't have to waste time and money. That's another problem in redoing a car during the pandemic is trying to get people to work on it. Trying to get the headliner for the car and some parts here. But Rock Auto takes care of all that. You don't waste time phoning, driving, waiting in line. Go to rockauto.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Once again, I mentioned this yesterday. I've touched on it a little bit today. The Washington football franchise making headlines on Monday for finally retiring their team name. Now we're still waiting for what has been deemed a potentially damaging report that could expose the team's toxic culture. We don't know anything else other than what we're being told and the speculation that is attached to this. But a lot of NFL reporters have touched on this, but they haven't advanced the story. I don't know what the holdup is. My thought was maybe the lawyers are involved from the Washington Post and making sure they go over this because there's probably going to be blowback from Daniel Snyder and the Washington Redskins with this. But we're waiting to see how ugly it potentially could be. But that is the story. And Paulie tried to get a hold of the editors, sports editors at the Washington Post just to say, when are you going to drop this story? Got no response from them. All right. Paulie says we're going with a new poll question.
Yes. So Paulie and I were discussing a new poll question as I buy for time. And we couldn't come up with one yet. But I tell you, at the top of next hour, Ethan Cooperson is going to give us one.
Ethan, our stats guy?
Yeah. I was going to ask you, should we put up Luka versus Zion as a poll? Because we were just debating it again in the last break.
Yes, Paul.
So you can make the case that there's no doubt that Zion Williamson is compelling and for your franchise will sell more products, sell more tickets, make you more relevant. Luka Doncic is also a sure thing on the court. Would you think about taking Luka over Zion because of health reasons, past health issues with Zion's knee and how that could play out for a guy who jumps in his
head? I would take Luka over him.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Even with the marketing and this?
Yeah, because it's still the best marketing you can have is when you win. And as much as I love what the Pelicans are doing or trying to do and some of the pieces they have there, you know, Luka, that kind of talent can win a championship for you. Zion is, you know, a highlight machine. But Luka has the ball in his hands all the time. Zion is not although he's a better passer than people think, It's just Luka's able to do things at that size and his ability to be able to shoot and pass. I mean, he's a triple-double. He can do what you need him to do. He just doesn't do it necessarily with the flair that Zion does, but then not many players do. Yes, McLevin.
How do we know he's not just a stat stuffer on Luka? Like, until he wins at the highest level, like LeBron and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, I don't know that Luka's going to win you a championship. He's
20.
He's 21. Yeah, I don't think he develops like a Kevin Durant. I don't know that he's ever unguardable like those guys. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not convinced that he's a surefire, he's going to win three NBA titles guy.
Well, he's not one of those guys who relies on explosive moves.
That's kind of it. I eyeball him. I'm like, is that guy really that unstoppable?
Look, when I watched his highlight reel from Europe, I kept thinking he just does enough to get the shot off. Just enough to get the dunk. Just enough to get the pass. It was always just enough. And then he comes to the NBA and he does the same thing. It's just enough. So that's not by accident. That's just who he is and how he plays. Yeah, and it's not like he's not going to jump as high or slow down. His game is not predicated off that. Zion, let's face it, without that explosion, then he comes back to earth in more ways than one. Yeah, Paul.
Kevin Durant, age 20, second year in the league, averaged 25, 6 assists, and 6 rebounds. Luka right now is averaging 29 points, 9.3 rebounds, and 9 assists.
Yes, McLevin.
But he's like James Harden. He's a huge volume shooter. He's only shooting 31% from three. That's a real problem. I mean, that's a big deal.
He's 20.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, he's scoring 30 points.
But you have to let him grow into himself. Like, what is his game going to be like in 5 years from now?
Could he be the next Harden? Would you buy that comparison?
No. I don't think there's another Harden.
Yeah, in the sense that he could score a million points and not win a title.
Now, he's ball dominant, but then how many guys aren't ball dominant now of your stars? Feels like they're all ball dominant. We'll check in with LSU and their head coach, Ed Orgeron. He'll join us coming up. Final hour of the Dan Patrick Show after this.